I didn't hear anything about it. I really don't remember anybody forcing me to be a part. But if you ended up with a girl, you know, that was that way, you could to play the opposite role, you know. Uh-huh. In fact, I think the families get to remember, I remember one time Bingles, and not only Bingles, they're also going down the carousel.
Yeah.
All these big bad witches used to come out dressed in dresses, and I mean dressed up to a T. And you would never, to see them that way, put you on shock, really, you know, because they had all the girls decided what they didn't want to get dressed. And everybody came out, and they really looked sharp.
Oh, and
then the next, yeah, Lane, oh, yeah, Lane used to,
beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Lane, and Andy used to, was a shocker, too, with that blonde hair of hers. Oh, she's got some pretty wavy blonde hair. That woman was really something when she was younger.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they all really looked sharp when they got, it was just in a shock, you see all these, one day, especially one day, next day, they come in and, you know, all look like women, which they were. They just wanted to prove that they could do the same thing. Yeah, too, when they go back to their little tomboy or tough guy roles.
I remember there were a few women around that people used to call kai kai. Yeah. And you know the word.
You know the word.
Oh, it meant women who couldn't make up their mind about what they were. And they were sort of laughed at and suspect. You know. Like you couldn't leave your girlfriend alone with her because you didn't know what she was. Yeah.
And that's probably where all the arguments and the fights come up.
Yeah.
And it was rough, you know, it was tough to admit it for any of us, because at that time, you get a bar going and there'd be a big fight, and the cops would come, next thing you know, they'd close up the bar. Mm-hmm. And it was just like they were swooping the girls all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
But it, you know, because of the fighting and the argument and the role playing, which is, to me, at that time was a necessity, I guess. But it, you know.
I think it was.
Well, I think it was at that time. I think, you know, because I think with people going through wartime and half the girls, if they were around the house where they had brothers and the guys had to go off to service or something, you had to play a role.
Yeah.
You had to more or less take the part of your own brother and be the tough guy in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You had to, because it was, what was there left on the street?
Mm-hmm.
You know, half the guys were either too old to go on the service or they're too young to go on the service, or you didn't want to be bothered with them, so... Everybody came out and had the pickings of girls, all, you know, really.
Yeah.
And it was, I think at that time you had to.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the situation and the lifestyle that we're living.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it wasn't fast like it is now, but it was something you had to learn to survive. You had to learn to go out and get yourself a job. You had to learn how to hang on to that job.
Mm-hmm.
You had to be careful, because at that time, that's when I said, then you had to be careful about work, because somebody, you didn't treat them right, or maybe you wouldn't dance with them or something, you'd get mad, you'd call your job and you'd be fired. So you had to hang on. Everything was, you had to fight for what you wanted. And you had to hang on to it, and you had to be careful what you did. You might wish we were fighting every day of your life, just trying to struggle through a period at the time where it was just rough going for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to be. I really feel it had to be.
You think a lot of that has changed?
What, role playing?
Yeah.
Very much so. I can say I envy these kids in a way, but I have a lot of respect for these kids that come out now, because they just come out with themselves. That's it. Sure, some of them probably sort of hang on to that stylish thing, but that's over. You don't have to put on a role to be, for somebody to want you or be around you. You know, your role playing could be at home in the house when nobody else is around. You know, or in your bed, maybe one is more aggressive than the other. You know, like some people can walk up and pick up a girl and talk, but when they get home, the girl that they picked up would be the one to be aggressive in bed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But no, I think it's changed drastically, and I really like just the way these kids, because if two people walking down the street, nobody knows. Because
yeah.
Why do you have to advertise?
Uh-huh.
And that's what we were doing a few years back, advertising. Just as only the guys that come up with the wrist, you know,
yeah.
Swishiness and all, they were advertising. You don't have to advertise with you. It's just like putting a sign on your back and saying, you know,
uh-huh.
That's just like, you know, they help me get prostitutes walking down the street. You don't have to be gay and walking down the street and let everybody know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that you don't be ashamed of, but you just still don't have to throw things up in people's faces. But at that time, you had to do it. It was, a struggle for it, but now these kids just, because all this is so wide open, and it's talked about, you hear about it on the radio, you know, and a lot of people you would never expect to hear, you know, well, Nita Bryan's doing a whole lot for us, but by the more she pushes and talks, the more people are coming out with it.
You think that in general her effect has been, like, good for the community?
I don't say it's really good, but what I'm saying is it's making people come out of closets a lot more than they were, because yeah. they're not going to let one woman like that try to say that, what she's trying to say is that we're trash.
Yeah, right.
That's what she's trying to prove.
She's saying
that. But she's also making people act, well, it's just like, years back, people used to come out to the gay bars, right? Uh-huh. And they used to sit as if though to see, she moved my throat on. You know? Like we're free. Like it was a sideshow. Yeah. And so we had to put on a show for them. Uh-huh. You know, so you know, you make someone smile, oh gee, I guess I left my other head at home tonight, and good thing I didn't bring it out with me, or you put on a show, or you just do anything just to make them get up and leave, you know. Uh-huh. And nowadays people walk in into a bar and nobody puts on a show because they don't really care.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, guys will. When they see a lot of girls together, because they're trying to figure out what two girls can do together that they can't do with a girl.
Yeah.
You know, that maybe they can give more to a girl than another girl, but they just, I don't know, guys just don't understand it, that tenderness and the softness and the, that you want, that they just don't have, they'll never have. But the role these kids are playing, there's no, to me, it's not anything they're playing, it's just that they're it. They come out, they're themselves. They dress the way they would dress normally, the way they dress now, they dress for work the same way, and nobody knows. I mean, because you got doctors, lawyers, everything else out, and nobody knows the difference.
Sure.
You're professional people, and it's just the idea that you just don't have to show. You don't have to put a tag on yourself just to be recognized. I mean, it's just the idea that just to come out.
Have you seen any kind of changes? Well, okay. There have been a whole lot of different kinds of bars in this area for a long time. I know one thing I wanted to ask. It seemed to me when I came out that the bars were pretty well mixed, men, you know, gay men and gay women together, and now they're pretty separated. Do you have a preference for either kind? Did you have a preference for either kind? Were you comfortable in a mixed bar then? Why do you think that change happened?
Yeah, I was comfortable in a mixed bar. When I first, you know, Bingo's was a lot of girls.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and so was the Mardi Gras. But yeah. Then it was also mixed.
There were a few guys.
Yeah, always a few guys. And then when the girls would leave there, then you still had separate bars, because the Oasis and the Johnny 68 Club were all guys.
5 o'clock.
Right, it's 5 o'clock. But the girls could go in there. The girls that got along, because even at that time, if you needed a date, and you didn't know enough straight fellows that you could go turn to, the guys and the women, you know, you could get dressed up and they could come out and
take them to your family wedding.
Right, and then we need each other. And we needed each other then, and we need each other now. Maybe some of these girls and some of these guys don't realize it.
Uh-huh.
But it's just the idea that if you want to be around girls, you had your own bar to go to.
Yeah.
If you want to be around, you know, be around the guys and see you good. But then there were still the bars that were mixed where you were around with each other. Because like Tom and Lynn's turned out to be really a mixed bar.
Right.
Quite a bit. So the Havana Casino turned out to really be a mixed bar.
The Eagle,
right. Or even Curacao. Turned out to really be
It was an elegant.
Right. Uh-huh. Turned out to be a mixed bar. And it was fun because, like, I used to be in there with some of the guys, you could dance. You felt secure. So if somebody did come in, you could always be hanging under the guy's arm and be looking like you. Geez, I wonder what that woman. Geez, I heard about this. You know,
yeah.
You could walk out the door together and some stranger was there and they would think that, you know, you two had just walked in, not knowing that you'd been there all night long or been there separately or something, but you always had somebody to kind of fall onto. Because, this is way back when you had to protect yourself, you know, with your job and all. You always had some guy that you could, you know.
Uh-huh. You know, I remember at the Eagle, one of the nicest things that I remember ever seeing there was when all the kids used to get up and do the hustle. Little Linda and remember Michael,
mm-hmm.
like Stephen, and Ronnie, the blonde Ronnie, Bobby Lashford. Oh, and there were like 15 people all lined up doing the hustle together. It was, and everybody really liked each other. It was really warm.
Yeah. As I said, see, because, well, it was nicer than the Eagle, because by this time I was teaching school, I was told, rumor went around that they were supposed to have seen me in the Eagle kissing some girl. Some guys went by in a car. Mm-hmm. And I told them, it couldn't have been me. I said, I lied. I said, I've never been in there. You know. But I would never say that I fought one in the first place. You always say they bash.
Sure.
But
well, you lie to protect yourself.
You have to. At this time.
Sure.
But no, it's I don't know exactly the reason for the change in the ship. It's some. Well, the only thing, as I said, I like the way the girls and the guys come out now. But it's like they just when they come in the gay lives, they're just coming in the gay lives. They just don't want to associate with the guy. They don't probably realize that they really need them, even to this day. Mm-hmm. They need, I'm quite sure that these kids, the families are wondering why they don't have a date. You know, if they still live at home or if they got to go someplace with their family, how come they always come by themselves? Or if some parents used to wonder why Will kept calling the other girl up on the phone. Mm-hmm. Why don't you have a guy? Hey, you could have a guy, well, he could call you up on the phone, talk to you. And the parents would never think anything of it, you know, except when you got to meet them, you know, or something. And heck, it would be nice. If you wanted to get out of the house and meet some girl, you got a guy that can come over the house, get you out the house,
sure.
Go and go on a date. The two of you go down to the bar, have a ball, and then he takes you home that night, and who's going to go take it? Well, your parents just thought you went out with him.
Do you think that, do you see an effect, maybe this is one of the effects, of the gay movement or the women's movement in the community?
Do I see an effect on it?
Do you see, okay, Mattachine started in Buffalo around 1970, early 1970, down at the Avenue when, what's his face name, Jimmy?
Yeah, I know who you mean. Yeah.
Were you ever involved?
In the Mattachine?
Yeah.
No. You know, I said no, it was because of my work.
Okay.
Yeah, I couldn't.
You couldn't afford to be on
I couldn't take any chances.
What did you think of the existence of the organization at all, even though you couldn't join it?
Well, I knew.
You knew people who were in it?
Yeah, I wanted to get Bobby in it, but I knew people who were in it and all what they're trying to do, but I just couldn't get, and as I said, I just couldn't get myself involved in it because I was.
But what did you think about that kind of effort being done?
I thought it was good, but the only thing is, I just couldn't do it, and I know it really couldn't help me in a sense, because I couldn't be helped by it. Maybe I could up to a degree, but at that time I felt I couldn't, because I just couldn't get myself involved in it to do anything, to help them in any way,
sure.
Because, as again, I said, because of my work, and it would make it rough, and I just couldn't be, you know, and like, I used to sit when I was, at school, but listen to all these teachers talk about, you know, things that are going around in the community. And as one teacher used to talk about some of the bars he used to go by, and I used to sit there and sweat, because he never said he saw him, but if he did, he never said it.
Uh-huh.
But it's just the idea that you sit there and have to listen to him tell you, you couldn't say, you couldn't even defend yourself, you couldn't even defend them, you couldn't say nothing.
Yeah.
You just have, you'd have to get involved in a conversation once in a while, because then if you didn't, they would wonder, you know, you would, well, just say some little remark or something, and you know, then go back and then sit back and listen. But
uh-huh.
It was just like because of things like that I just had to really.
Yeah. Do you think that Mattachine has done any good things for the community? I mean, it's been around for 8 years. Can you see from outside of it that it may have done any good stuff or bad stuff?
Well, I don't. You don't really. You know, I don't really hear anybody talking about it,
mm-hmm.
for one thing, you know, except just through the gay kids and all. I mean, as far as the outside community, I've never heard anybody really.
No, I don't mean the outside community. I mean, it's like...
Within the community?
Within the community.
Well, the only thing I ever heard about, you know, bad about is that I know some people just didn't like it. They just thought that they were doing more harm than they were doing good, because they
They try to make noise?
Yeah, and try to get people involved in things that they just couldn't do at the time. You just don't come with, you know, with a big shot and boom, and expect everything to explode at once. But the only thing I liked about it was trying to bring the kids together closer. You know,
dance.
You went to dances and everything, you know, your own, but I don't know how much it worked out, because lately I've been going to the dances. I went to one, just before the building was, the one on Main Street.
Yeah.
I went there twice, and one time I was coming down the stairs, and there was a white kids up in front making remarks, and, you know, and I...
It's real tough.
Right. No, and that's a bad scene, and it's just the idea that you get something like that. If you get in an area where you get neighbors and kids and all coming around, it's bad, not for you, but it's gonna make people run and talk, and then it's gonna bring more kids around and outside, and you're gonna have trouble outside, and somebody's gonna get hurt, and which is no good. Now, like the church, I think that's
a better idea.
Right. I think it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's a church, but it's just that. It's just a different atmosphere too. You just feel differently when you're...
Did you go to some of the dances at church that were held recently?
Yeah. Not the last one I had, but I had one before that, you know.
Yeah, I was at that one.
No, I don't know. In fact, I didn't know we had one this last week.
I didn't go to that one because Miles was out of town. I usually don't go alone. I go to day thing alone.
I'll tell you that, well, it wasn't even a buckle, but you know, like when... The thing that I thought was really nice was when Erie would have all those picnics and invite all the different... I know they tried big picnics here, but we just don't have the land or the privacy we could go have something like that. Now, when I used to go to Amos on Swan Street, you know, we used to all get together and have a picnic. And we used to have it at Como Park. Well, we found a spot at Como that was really isolated. There were trees in front of us, crossing the road. Bushes would start at one end, and way behind us and go all the way down to the other, and we'd just cut off from everybody else. And we had a shelter house. And so by the time you parked the cars, nobody could really see on the other side unless they drove by. Of course, we had a few people stop once in a while and, well, what party are you going, you know. And they would come with food and give them drinks or something, you know, then they go on about their way. But it was fun. We had fun, no arguments, and we made sure that there were no arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would bring food and just put it out so everybody could eat that way. Or you could have your own, but you know, we just more or less would put things out, do things all together. And we'd get the beer, you know, and you'd bring the beer, and somebody would go there and save the spot early in the morning. And it turned out to be nice. And every year, you know, we did this twice a year almost, and every year everybody would look forward to it. And this is something that I wish we could have, you know, could have had, or they could have had, you know, imagine you could have had something like that. But if you had found the right spot, I think your Buffalo would have turned out real nice with it.
Yeah.
Which would have brought...
They had one at Ellicott Creek Park once, I remember, that was good. It was pretty separated from other things.
No, see, we don't have
most of the time.
We need private land.
Yeah.
Like they do now in Erie.
Yeah, I remember I went up to a lot of Erie picnics and they were really great. I haven't been in a while, but I think they're still having them, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to have one in the summer.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they were one.
I mean, they can't control everything. They had a lot of fights. They had one in a public place one time, and they had big fights. Well, just like any place. I remember years back, too, when I went to one at Ellicott Creek.
Mm-hmm.
And then the cops came in, they took those who were drinking whiskey. They confiscated the whiskey and made them leave the park. But other than that, we didn't have any problem.
Yeah.
You know, but it just didn't have the privacy. Just some of the things you did, at that time you didn't care, you did it anyhow, you know, you're out.
Mm-hmm.
But you just made sure that you just wouldn't get that intimate if you could help it.
Uh-huh.
You know, why, as I said, because all these people and little kids and everything, they aren't that far away from you.
Yeah.
But I think we'd have a good turnout and a nice time if we could find a park or find some place that was private and have a picnic. I think we could really do almost the same thing. Because
yeah.
We got a big enough community here.
Oh, it's huge.
It's
separated though. The community.
Yeah, but see, that's what we need, something to bring it together.
Yeah.
You've got not just the dances and all is not going to bring either side together, and you need something because, like, the last year I went on the bus that left behind the Cardinals, right? Between the Cardinals and the analysis, they had rented a bus, almost two buses, but they only took the one because they filled up the one. The guys, some of the girls went back, and I hit a ball. I had more, and then on the way back, of course. guy got in that little corner and did that little thing, and you know, but nobody cared.
Yeah.
You know, but it was still fun. And the group on the bus, we had more fun together.
Uh-huh.
And it just goes to show you can. If you had something like that, you could bring around those guys, because some of the guys like being around the girls.
Yeah, it used to be much closer, I think, in that way. We also used to go to the quarry, remember?
Yeah, up in the Shirkston.
One mill
in Shirkston, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one mill quarry. In fact, I guess one of the girls that went by us over there, just almost every other morning, go swimming.
Yeah.
Before going to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then, Mickey. What is that? Was it Mickey or somebody, what's the other one that was in, that girl, Jenny, Daisy, used to have a tent.
Oh, yeah.
When they had their tent up there.
Yeah.
And the kids used to go up and stall. Yeah, used to stay up there in that tent.
Right.
And, but that's, you know, those are days. There were guys up there, too.
Uh-huh.
Some of the guys used to go up there.
It doesn't happen anymore. I wonder why. I mean, that quarry has changed. It's got new owners and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But things like that don't seem to happen anymore.
I don't know. Then for a while, I had some friends that had trailers up in Deer Lake. I used to go out and see. There was a little group that was going out there renting trailers and inviting people out, you know, but that's kind of small, too. You can't
have too many. You can't have 150.
Yeah, it has changed. It's like in the summertime, you get your own little small groups, and like even some kids are talking about how they used to have at church, they used to rent cottages, or they used to rent cottages up in Canada, and invite all their friends, you know, and be a group of them at the cottage, and other kids would come up there. And we listen to some girls talking about it not too long ago when they had it, and all the things, and just sat there at the table listening to them talk about their experience at the cottage, and they're all there. I cracked. I was laughing so hard. I was crying. The fun that they had. The good times that they had, you know. And how the cops would come by and, you know, they'd end up finding out they opened up the door. This one day, a girl said, "Jiggers, it's the cops," and slammed the door right in the cop's face. And then they opened it up, and finally he got to know him. The one he used to come by at nighttime and stop, and they'd give him beer or give him whatever he wanted to drink. The guys would never buy. They never had any problems with the cops checking them out. But it's just, you know, little small things. And good times everybody used to have a long time ago that, I don't know if it's financially, that they can't afford it, or we're just drifting apart instead of being together, you know, as far as doing things together as a group. If you're not within the crowd, you're not going to, you're not in with it. That's the trouble nowadays. It's still cliquish. You still have cliques. You still have that little groups. If you're outside of that one group, you know, they don't want you in. You just got to stand on the outside, and that's where you are. You're left out. Because nowadays, you got all these sports, you know. Every time you go to some of these ball games, and everybody out there in that field is. And then you look out the stands, and oh, God, where did they all come from?
Right, wall to wall,
right? Oh, you better believe it. Every time they play up in the Shamrocks, against the Shamrocks in Tonawanda?
Yeah.
You would be sure, if you could see the stands. I don't even know where they all come from, but all of a sudden, boom, that whole section.
Uh-huh.
If anyone ever got a picture of that, they would have a prized possession.
Because
it's not every day that you would get all of them together.
Yeah. That's really wild. Mm-hmm. It's funny because it seems like in so many ways we're more relaxed and we're more out and we hang out more, and in other ways we're more defensive and more cliquish and, you know, and more separated. Mm-hmm. It's really weird.
We are separated. Because right now the separation with the, you know, like Molly was started with the hibachi. Because like the one time I hit some friends coming falls, we went to hibachi, and the guys just got out the car just like we did. And they walked in, they walked into the door, they didn't pay. We had to pay $1.
Uh-huh.
We weren't a guy. We were girls, so we it's a sign that they don't want you.
It's fairly obvious,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, you know, I mean, we're lucky over. I mean, also they go there and they dance, you know, and but they still, there's an atmosphere in there. They still don't want all those girls in there.
Yeah.
You know.
You think it's the owners that are separating us?
I don't think it's the owners, but I think it's, it's not the owners. It's just the attitude of some of the people that you associate, you know, that you're around when you're in the bar. I mean, because every time you go to, you know, well, I don't have too much problem, but you go to talk to some of the guys and they get nasty, or, you know, they try to crowd you. If you've got a spot, they seem to try to crowd you out of it. And,
I wonder why.
I don't know, because even at Mean Al's, it seems strange, but most of the time, every time the girls go in there, they're always in the back room. Uh-huh. By the back door, that's the only space they seem to give you.
Yeah.
They'll give you that much, but they won't let you go any further.
Uh-huh.
Unless you get there earlier, you know, you can take, but if you've been in there,
yeah, there's just once, never.
Well, if you've gone in there a weekend, and a weekend, on a Saturday or Sunday, everybody's just jammed in the back part of the.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Except for
what's happened. What's the difference?
A few other girls that we've all got names for, you know.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I want to ask you about that. Right. That's a real interesting kind of thing that I was asking people about. I mean, well, I guess while we're talking about it.
I don't know.
There have always been fat cakes.
Right.
From the minute
right.
I came out. I probably came out as a fag cake, or what looked like a fag cake, because the people that, aside from Bobby Priebus, who took me around to the bars when I was really young, before I came out, the first people I really got to know in the bars socially were gay guys, and I hung out with them a lot. But I felt that it was kind of a learning process for me, and eventually I found out what I
was. Yeah, but to me, these girls that are around them, I'm not gay.
Right, a lot of them aren't.
Right.
They never will be.
Right, they're straight.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they're getting what they want, you know? I mean, who knows, you know? Maybe the guys that they hang around with, they feel that, they feel secure with them,
yeah.
and they might have a relationship going that nobody knows about, you know? I'm just saying it, but, or else,
I'm sure.
Or else they just feel secure. Because they know that they can't get pregnant, or they wouldn't get pregnant because the guy's not going to do anything to them.
Yeah.
But they can go out in the street and have a good time and dance, and the guy might, or they might be more liable probably to pay them for the guys.
Yeah.
You know, they give the guys money, buy them drinks because they got some place to go, and they got some guy that they can dance with, associate with.
Uh-huh.
And yet, maybe it's because they feel that they just don't want that intimate relationship to go that far, and they just feel secure, and they're safe up to a point because they know nothing else is going to happen. I know some of them. If I was a guy, he wouldn't want to hang around me, but from what I've seen.
And yet some of them are smart and pretty,
mm-hmm.
and interesting. So, I mean, there's all kinds.
Yeah.
And you wonder how people get to do that, and then you wonder how long they're going to keep doing it. And, you know, and what happens, I mean, you know,
to me there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
There's got to be some kind of background problem that makes a girl just, you know, hang around with the gay guys. And as I said, it might be that she wants a man, but she doesn't know how to go about getting it. So this is as close as she can get because he has got the male structure, you know. Yeah. And
he treats her like
right, probably like a girl and everything. And she just eats this up, and she's just afraid she can't go past that stage. So, you know. And as I said, maybe once in a while she might get satisfied, but that's, you know, there. But it's just the idea, the image that she's just got. There's just something there that they build onto.
Now, there have always been many fewer, but always a few guys that hung around
girls.
Gay girls.
Yeah. But I know some guys that do that, even now, but they're gay.
Okay.
But it's just, they're actually gay, but the thing is it's like they like to do other things besides just dancing. So they use, they go out on dates with each other. They, you know, go to dinner.
Uh-huh.
They go out and then they separate when they come out to the bar.
Okay. But what about straight guys who hang around here? What about fish queens and other varieties? Because there's always been a few of
them. Well, I know, but I know a long time ago some guys that did that, and they did it because back home, they have a woman, they want the girls to go satisfy their girl at home, or their wife at home, and this has been, and they paid for them. I know these girls that got paid for this,
uh-huh.
and then sometimes they want to do it because they're trying to get a threesome going.
Yeah.
And then some of them just do it just to, I don't know, you know, the reason they can, maybe they're hoping that they can
get along,
get the girl, or that's as close as they want to be with a girl too. Maybe they just can't take that step any further either.
Yes, yes. They may be really just the opposite of opinion.
Right. Uh-huh. And, but I knew some guys used to be around girls and older men, but used to have wives back home and used to try to get the girls to go home and go down and ride what they want to do. And they, some girls do it because they got paid for it though.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to give them money. Mm-hmm. That's a chance. That's a dangerous situation here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Really. I'm
going
to go over what
we've
done a lot already without
asking
questions.
Really, go from one subject to the other. It's easy.
Yeah, sure. Once you get started, you know, I mean, memories just come flooding back. It's really terrific. Oh, I know what I want.
What?
Go ahead.
Okay. You can erase a lot of this stuff, don't you?
You want me to turn this on?
Yes, I'm
ready. I wanted to talk to you about relationships. And have you been involved since you came back to Buffalo in, well, long relationships, short relationships, many, few?
Well, I've been in short ones, let's say. But I'm going to give you a feeling that I have, right? And maybe I'm wrong, but and maybe you can see, no, maybe you can see what I'm talking about. I feel, even sometimes now, that the kids in the city, the girls especially in Buffalo, don't seem to mind if by going out with blacks or being around blacks, but they're very hard to have any relationship with. Because, you know, like some of them, doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. You know, which there are mixed relationships going on and have been for, but some of these girls right now, they're hard to get to know, and it seems like they're, they would get to a point, and you know, but they're shamed. You know, because I was with a girl not too long ago, too. I don't know, I just, she always said that she wouldn't let her kids use word nigger or do stuff like this, you know, because she had kids, right? But I just felt that sometimes they get to a point where they feel ashamed. And they just will go just so far with you. And that's it, you know. They won't go steady. You know, you really have to find the right person that will really... Like, I get invited to parties, I get invited to different places, which is fine with me, you know. But until you try to get intimate there, get closer to somebody, then you're kind of shut out. You're kind of shunned away. So that's the only reason I feel that I've been having problems, you know, because it just... I just haven't got the right person again, you know. I've been around. I'm not saying that I haven't been... With girls, I have, you know, I've been a bit, but it's just the idea that it's the few and far between.
Yeah.
Some of them enjoy it, you're around you, you know, being like, they don't mind you coming to the house, but as far as that goes, that's as far as it goes, you know.
Yeah.
They're strange in this city, they really are.
What about relationships with other black women?
I've never had one. I came close to it, but I've never had one. This one, I don't know.
Is it just like an accident that hasn't happened, or?
I just never, well, like people always say to me, that they're always kidding me, no, you're not black, you know. You know, you're Hawaiian or something, or they tease me.
Yeah.
Because I'm always around whites instead of being around that being blacks. And I just never, I don't know. Some of the black girls, and I just don't like their style. They're too rough for the style they're living, you know, it's just not. For me, and some of the things that they get into too much heavy, you know, dope and all this too, also I've seen, and I just don't care for that.
Yeah.
It's just not my style of living. And I just never really...
It just hasn't seemed to happen.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, it just hasn't happened, you know. It's, as I said, it came from one girl, when Granny's was going, tried to, you know, and at that time it seems like my mind was into somebody else, and I just, you know, poor girl just gave up on me. That's what she says, she's not giving up on you.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Yeah. So I guess, I mean, you think that we have an awful lot to fight by fighting the outside world about our gayness, but apparently all the other prejudices still exist, even within this kind of community, too. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they probably, it's just not with me for being back. There's probably, you know, others that, that just the way some people live, and you know, that they just don't particularly care about.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, the girls are, I mean, I've seen guys don't seem to care. Because guys can go out and pick up a guy one night and go off and have his little thing and come back, finish with him and go pick up another and go off. We're not like that, you know.
Girls are more casual.
Yeah, but, I mean, girls really have to get together.
Yeah.
You have to be around before you can even think about going, you know, for kissing that doesn't mean difference, but for anything else, it's not like guys. I mean, guys don't seem to really worry about, I don't think, like, they look at the guy and say, well, I can't be with you tonight because you're black, you know, or you're Indian, or you know, something else.
Some guys complain about it.
Yeah, well, there are some that will complain, but it's just that some of them just don't. Some of them come right out in the open, and, you know, I've been around guys where they look at a guy and say, look at that body.
Yeah.
The guy can be black, but they're just looking at his body. That's all they're interested in.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the girls are, you know, we're all funny. Maybe I do the same thing, and I don't really realize it. You know, I've had people try to talk to me, and I get fussy, and I kind of shun them away. And
because there's just something about their style.
You know, either that or you're just not interested. You know, you don't know that they're interested in you at the time. And you see, it always seems like when somebody's interested in you, you're interested in somebody else.
I know.
You know?
I know.
And when you get your...
And when you're free, everybody's in a couple. When you're in a couple, the whole world is free and calling you up. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, you could just die. I really want to talk more about racial prejudices, but I'm not sure of the kinds of questions to ask. Because I've never been... When I was straight, when I was acting straight, whatever that was, before I realized I was gay, I went out with some black guys and slept with them and had relationships with them. And I was aware that there was a difference, especially when we walked down the street together, people would stare at us. So, I mean, it wasn't impossible to ignore that people knew that, you know, that people knew there was a difference going on there, and that some people really hated it. But it seemed to me that personally I never felt that there was a problem for me. I've never been with a black woman.
Have you ever been, I know you've been in New York City, right?
Oh.
Walk around New York City and you see whites and blacks together and nobody pays any attention to it.
Uh-huh.
They really don't.
Yeah.
They don't get time for it down in the city.
Right.
But see, for up here, and somebody smaller, it seems like you get more, because it's not the hustle and bustle like they have done, you can take time out to watch or look at somebody coming down the street.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, you just don't really see that many whites and blacks together. So when you do see it, it's, especially with a guy and a girl, if it's a white guy and a black girl, or a black guy and a white girl, you know, like the guy at work that I work with, he's married to a white girl.
Uh-huh.
And even sometimes when she comes around, I know there's, and he is really black, see. And there's got to be somebody, people always got to be stared. And I know when they go out to eat, there's really got to be a stare. And buzzing and everything else. And it's, we just haven't got away from that, you know, that freedom of being able to forget what others say. We really still worry too much about what other people think about us, what they're going to say about us.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel that some of the girls just might, you know, where they can take somebody else home. You know, I took someone out of my hometown from Texas, you know, because they were from Texas originally.
Right.
You can imagine girl boys and taking the family down. It's just a funny situation, and I don't know how you can overcome it. And as I said, some of the things are, you know, some people can be seen with you out in the street. That's as far as it goes. They would never invite you to their house. Or some people would invite you to their house and they try to ignore you in the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't mind being inside with you, but to get outside, it's like some kind of shame. But for me, I mean, like, I just go places. You know, I just, like, because I played softball out and everything, so I follow the teams around. And I go to this one bar in Tucson over on the east side, you know, by Houghton Park and everything.
Yeah.
Polish district. I go there for fun. I know those guys are buzzing, not because of me being in there, but because of the girls, you know.
Sure.
You know, but I just don't really care, because I just go and do everything, sit down, eat. I just don't cut up or get nasty.
Yeah.
You know, like play pool, and they get, the guys get a kick out watching the girls play pool, and they always want to challenge, and yeah. like they feel like the pool players and the challenge. But it's just some small things that you just feel, you know, you can feel it. Like,
I was going to say something about an incident that happened to me when I was younger. When I was about, we were pretty young, I was about 8 or 9 years old. A black family moved in across the street from us. This was just the east side was still predominantly a Jewish and mixed area. And the very first black families were just starting to move in. This is about 1948.
What street was this?
Butler. It's New Brunswick.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
All right. Well,
the Johnsons moved in.
All right.
Okay. And Steinette and I are exactly the same age. We're 2 days apart. And we got to be absolutely best friends. Also, her younger brother, Sammy, and my sister are exactly the same age, and they got to be good friends. Well, it was hard for boys and girls to be friends, but they were only they were about 5. So it was still okay for boys and girls to play together at 5. You know, once you get to be 11,
you're separate.
And then my little brother, Mark, and their youngest, Lenny, were exactly the same age. It was really strange. We all were together. But, so Sinead and I were inseparable. She taught me how to dance. She slept over at my house. I slept over at her house. She showed me my first jar of Dixie Peach. I never knew what it was. She was real smart. We read books together. We went to the movies together. We just hung out together all the time. Then she had a sweet 16 party. And there were boys at the party. I knew all the boys. We all went to school together. I was the only white person at that party. But I didn't know it, you know? I didn't think about it.
Yeah, you don't think about it.
I never even thought about that. And we had ice cream and cake, and we had hot dogs, and it was great, and we were sitting around joking and talking, and the kids started to put records on, and her mother took me aside and said, "Honey, the kids are probably going to start dancing now, and you sure can stay if you want to, but if you feel funny, I'm sure that they would understand if you didn't feel comfortable about staying." And I didn't know what she was talking about. And I said, "I feel fine. I mean, I thought I had done something wrong."
Yeah.
And she said, "Well, you know, when there's boys and girls dancing together, well, you know what I mean." And she didn't explain it. And then she walked out. And I must have been a real dummy, because it took me a good 10 minutes of sitting around trying to, you know, thinking of what she was talking about, before I suddenly realized that I was white. And that she was giving me an out if I wanted one. Well, after that, I felt white. I felt different. And I went home. You know, I kissed my neck goodbye, and I said, "I want to eat for dinner," and, you know, and I just never got over that.
Because it was brought up to you. You were told about it. Now, you're talking about where you live. When I lived on Alexander long before you, I used to go to 74, which is 90% Jewish,
right.
10% was West. I was only black there after my brother and sister left school all by myself. I used to have
10
kids,
years before, I
yeah, 10 yeah. kids used to call me names, right? Well, then I fought back. After I fought back, I had no problem.
Yeah.
I used to leave my section on Alexander, cross Jefferson, and go back over on Butler and Brunswick and play with all those kids over there that I went to school with, then to play with the friends that I knew. And that's how I ended up all my life, because I was around whites constantly.
Uh-huh.
At the time, I was Jewish, and I had fun.
Yeah.
But that was, I would go over there, and the funny part about it, too, is that some of those kids I went to school with, on a weekend, I'd be at their house, clean the house for their parents.
Wow.
And I'd be at school with them on Monday.
Yeah.
And we'd be classmates on Monday to Friday, and then Saturday I'd be almost like a clean late boy as a kid.
Yeah. We're getting close to the end of the teaching. It's just so weird. really is, it's just...
Well, see, we never, you never know about anything unless somebody brings it up. All right, now, maybe you can go to parties, right? Unless somebody would bring up the fact that, you know, they're talking to you and you're in the party, you're talking or anything, and somebody would kind of say, well, see, don't you feel funny being here? That's why I feel funny being here. But then you take a look around and you see, well, you know, they're all black, or I'm white, or they're all white and I'm black, and, you know, or somebody else is with you, you know, they say, let's go, what? I mean, because they feel funny about it. You shouldn't feel funny, you should just walk in the place and meet and just be you.
Yeah.
People don't really worry, some people don't worry about what you're on the outside. It's what's coming out from the inside. You know, and sure,